I have my days when it's true, y'all. I just can't smile. I just wanna cry. It ain't easy. Sometimes it's work just to be alive. But when I wake up, the goodness that's come to me, it's easier to let go of all my greed. Sometimes you gotta tell yourself that I'm not having it. Just take a good look in the mirror, say to yourself, I'm come to fight and quit, so say I'm good. Good enough to love myself. So good. Good enough to have success. What you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that you are blessed. I'm good. Good enough to handle my pain. So good. Good enough to raise my kids. Past is the best, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm at because I'm good. People ask me, am I confident? I reply with every now and then, but life comes down to two things, and that's rejection and acceptance. So I reject that there's no peace, and I accept that I am free. And that's all I have to be, and that's all I ever need. Cause when I think of the goodness that's come to me, it's easier to let go of all my grief. Sometimes you gotta tell yourself that I'm not having it. Just take a good look in the mirror, say to yourself, I've come too far to quit. So say I'm good, good enough to love myself. So good, good enough to have success. What you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that God is blessed. I'm good, good enough to handle my pain. So good, good enough to raise my kids. Past is the best, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm. Because all my people, let me tell you, and I'ma say it loud and clear. And you listen, so you hear me, so you never will forget. You're good enough to get that job, you're good enough to drive that car. And on top of all these things, you're good enough to have your dreams. Yeah, yeah. Ooh, yeah, 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 yeah. Hey. Come on, let me hear you say, I'm good, good enough to love myself. So good, good enough to have success. What you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that you are blessed. I'm good, good enough to handle my pain. So good, good enough to raise my kids. Past is the best, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm at because I'm good. People say, Tim, yo, you're my hero. How you do it? How you stay strong? Let them all know there's so much that I've been through. I have my days when it's true, y'all. I just can't smile. I just wanna cry. It ain't easy. Sometimes it's work just to be alive. But when I wake up, the goodness that's come to me, it's easier to let go of all my greed. Sometimes you gotta tell yourself that I'm not having it. Just take a good look in the mirror, say to yourself, I've come to fight, quit. So say I'm good, good enough to love myself. So good, good enough to have success. What you gain from all your stress is the freedom to know that you are blessed. I'm good, good enough to handle my pain. So good, good enough to raise my kids. Past is the best, and honestly, I'm happy for where I'm at because I'm good. People ask me, am I confident? I reply with every now and then, but life comes down to two things, and that's rejection and acceptance.
How are we doing today? Woo! Thanks, Alan. How are we doing today? Woo! How are we doing today? All right. You guys can join me on up. We're going to get ready for worship. Who's had a great week? I know that my week was fantastic. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Will you help me worship? Thank you. I appreciate that. Let me hear you shout a little louder. Let me hear it if you're thankful for freedom right now. So when we praise, what happens? We become free. And we give him the opportunity to minister to us, correct? Correct? All right. So when we sing this verse again, I just want you to put your praise into action, okay? So let's just put our praise into action, all right? I want to clap a little louder than before. I want to sing a little louder than before. I want to spin wilder than before. All right, I see you. One more time, please give me the loudest yell that you have. Come on and say,
freedom.
For freedom.
Freedom.
Yes, I've got my freedom.
Freedom.
I thank you for freedom, Lord. If you actually believe it, let me see you do this.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Yeah.
Come on, guys. Let's sing it.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Yeah.
Let's say that again, just one more time.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage, I am free, yeah.
If you actually believe it, let me hear you sing freedom.
Freedom, 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 freedom.
For the next 30 seconds, I just want to give God such a radical praise. So whatever you have to do, not worrying about the person next to you, except for don't hurt them, please. But anyway, just give God a radical praise. If you dance, let me see you dance. If you just want to shout and lift your hands and jump, let me see you do something. But we're about to give God such a radical praise because he is a radical God, and he's taking us out of situations where we have put ourselves in. All right, so for 30 seconds, come on. 1, 2, 3, go. All right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Guys, give him that. Give it to him. Give it to him. Give him. Give him the highest praise. Come on, y'all. Hallelujah. That felt good, didn't it? Who believes God is a good God? If he's great, let me hear you shout. Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good.
From generation to generation,
we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. We worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are. You are good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. So good,
so
good. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
Sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Come on, sing, Lord, you are good.
Lord, you are good, and your mercy endureth forever.
Let me hear you sing, Lord, you are.
Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are.
Sing, you are good.
You are good all the time and all the time. You are good.
You are-
generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
Sing, we worship you.
We worship you.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you
for who you are. You are good.
You are good. So good, so good.
Come on. Yes, you are, yes, you are, yes, you are. You are good.
You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. You are good all the time and all the time. You are good. And all the time, you are good.
Cause you are good and your
mercy endures forever.
Yes, Lord, you are good.
Cause you are good and your mercy endures forever.
Come on, sing that again. Sing, Lord, you are so
good.
From every nation.
People from every nation and tongue, from generation to generation, we worship you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we worship you for who you are.
Say that one more time.
We worship you. We worship you for who you are, for who you are, for who you are. You are good. God, fall. this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds us. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds us.
Overflow,
overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with your love. Oh,
Holy Spirit, fill this place. We want more. We want more of you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come on. Stronger anointing. We want stronger, God. Hallelujah. We worship your name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 You're so good to us, Lord. I speak peace right now in Jesus' name. Peace in Jesus' name. Just a rest, oh God, in the Spirit. Spirit of God, come on us. Even like a coat. From the top of our head, let us feel your power, sense your spirit just flow over us and bring peace. Some can't even see out the storm. Oh God, I thank you that even in the midst, you're going to bring a peace. A rest, oh God. Rest. Sweet Spirit God. We love you. Yeah, grande. Thank you. Sweet, sweet peace. Thank you, Jesus. I believe at times we just got to let the Spirit of God have His time. Amen. Our worlds are so busy, sometimes you just got to be quiet. Just let Him speak and let Him touch you. Let Him bring that peace. Our minds are so, so busy. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Sense the presence of Jesus. We always pray all the way from the back to the front that the waves of God will just move through this place. Because it's worthless to come to church until we meet with Christ. Amen. We're not interested in coming to a building. We're interested in coming to God's house where His presence is. And I'm excited that today He's in this place. Amen. Turn to someone and say, I sense the presence of Jesus. Why don't you go tell five or six folks you don't know right now. Don't go sit down. Don't sit down. Go find 5 or 6 people and say, I sense the presence of Jesus in this place. Come on, go find somebody you don't know. Shake their hand and say, good morning. I sense the presence of Jesus in this place.
How many times can one heart break? It was never supposed to be this way. Look in the mirror, but you find someone you never thought you'd be. Oh, but I can still recognize the one I love in your tear-stained eyes. I know you might not see it now, so lift your eyes to me. When you see broken beyond repair, I see healing beyond belief. When you see too far gone, I see one step away from home. You see nothing but damaged goods, I see something good in the making. I'm not finished yet. When you see wounded, I see mended. You see your words.
Come on now, don't be a snob. Meet somebody you don't know. Hi, Amy. How are you today? I love you. Come on, shake someone's hand you don't know. The young men and young women, grades 7 through 9, can be dismissed right now, right out through the back door. Pastor Cody's waiting for you. If you're grades 7 through 9, we have a group just for you today. Make your way back.
Sunday services, bounce houses, and fun for the whole family. Don't miss Easter weekend with His Tabernacle Family Church.
Good morning. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
No.
No. It's off.
Good morning. Okay. Is that good? Now I don't have to yell? Okay. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to His Tabernacle Family Church. Happy Sunday. We're so glad that you're all here with us this morning. We want to say a very special welcome to anyone who might be very brand new this morning, your very first time visiting His Tabernacle Family Church. Hopefully you got a guest packet as you came in, but if you did not, please, please, please raise your hand. We're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to call you names or anything. Oh, we have a guest right here in the front, third, fourth row back, another one over here. All right, His Tabernacle, you're inviting people. We have some more back there. We have a wonderful gift for you in your packet. And also in there is a lot of information about the church, but a very important thing, the guest reception admission ticket is in your guest bag. And we would ask all of you to come and please, after the service, there will be a reception held in the hallway over here in one of the classrooms where you can meet the pastors and the staff and learn a little bit more about His Tabernacle and the family here. So please, and if you If someone brought you, you can certainly bring your host over to that room as well. We want to welcome our live stream audience. We have a lot of people, literally hundreds of people, who join us on Sunday mornings from their homes on the computer, and we want to thank you for being here with us. You are our family, our online campus, and we love you and appreciate you for being here. And we want to mention or say thank you and give a props to this amazing house who hosted the Empowering Pastors 2017 Leadership Summit this last week. You are all amazing. For those of you who financially supported the event or you committed hours and hours of service as the conference unfolded this week, it was tremendous. Many, many pastors from different areas in our country and even around the world were touched and empowered and refreshed and just blessed by what we did for them this week. So God bless all of you, and keep stay tuned for dates for 2018. We have a very exciting announcement. Easter's coming. We love Easter. We celebrate the resurrection of our Savior, and we all get together and have an awesome time. But this year, we're doing something brand new at the Easter egg hunt on Saturday, April 15th, which we do on every year. But this year, we've added an awesome, exciting thing. We are going to have a helicopter egg drop. And we're going to have Easter eggs flying out of a helicopter out in the front yard, and it's going to be so exciting. We're inviting all of the community of Horseheads to come, and we're going to need lots of help. So if you'd like to get involved for Saturday, April 15th at the Easter egg hunt, please contact Susan Bull or Pastor Dan or Josiah Skinkle. We're going to need lots of volunteers. And then for Easter, we're going to have three services for Easter. Count them, three. Everybody say three. Three services for Easter this year. Good Friday night at 7 p.m. and then Sunday morning at 9 and 11. So make sure that you are inviting all of your friends and family to come out and celebrate the resurrection of our Lord on Easter weekend, okay? This week upcoming, we have two brand new classes starting, so we need you to sign up. The next step two class called No More Hurt is going to be starting Tuesday night at 7 p.m. taught by Pastor Rhonda. And it is based on the book that she wrote, and those books will be available for purchase. They're not required to sign up for the class, but I highly recommend that you get them. It is a phenomenal, phenomenal, life-changing book. And then the second one is Financial Peace University, which is starting Thursday night at 6:30. And if you're interested in signing up for that, you can contact me. We still have opportunity for you to get involved with supporting our Uproar Youth Conference, a free conference for the young people of the region and the whole country and world. This year, Uproar is being held at the First Arena. And you can support that event by simply donating $20 a week to Uproar. And there will be information at the hub, or you can contact Mackenzie Coe in order to sign up for that. And next, we have Pastor Rhonda.
The Lord is so good. We sang about it this morning, and I've brought this young lady up to share the goodness of God. You see, when we are in a covenant with God, He does incredible things. So I'm just going to let her share her testimony of the miracle working power of our God.
Good morning. My name's Casey, and I'm just going to get right to it, okay? So in January, I went to the doctor for a routine mammogram. The mammogram did not turn out routine. They came and said, well, we found something. We're going to send you to ultrasound. So, okay, we're going to go to ultrasound. So I went to ultrasound. The technician did an ultrasound. Then she says, well, you know what? We're going to have the doctor come in too. So I thought, come on, why we got to do this? So the doctor came in. And before I tell you anything else, I want to tell you that the only reason that I'm up here sharing this testimony with you right now is because of my faith and my obedience. So, the doctor comes in, she does the ultrasound herself, and she says, okay, this is what we found. we found a huge area of dense tissue, which is not common as you get older. She said, our major concern here is that you have a very aggressive type of cancer that does not present as a lump, but it weaves itself in between and behind tissues. And I looked at her and I said, no, I don't. And she says, well, you know, we have to do some tests and find out. And I said, well, okay, but it's not there. And said that the next step was going to be an MRI with contrast, because the contrast would light up anything that was not supposed to be there. So in this appointment, there was another woman that had come in for an ultrasound or a mammogram. And her mammogram was clear, and she was told she could go home. But she did not leave. She stayed and visited with me. And then finally, she decided to get up and go change and leave after quite some time. And she, before she left, she came over and she said, I'm taking it you're here because they found something. And I said, yes. She said, okay, well, what's your name? And so I told her, and she immediately began to pray. And I said, thank you, Jesus, because I hadn't even left the appointment yet. And I was like, all right, thank you, Jesus. So they made my appointment for the MRI. And I felt like I was being told, keep your mouth shut. Do not talk about this, but completely have faith in me. If you do that, you are going to be a testimony to people that you never thought you could be a testimony to. So I didn't speak it. My father had taken me to the appointment. I only told him that I had to go back for some more tests. I didn't speak. Never once in the 3 months that this went on did I speak the word cancer, because I was not going to own it in my life. So we went. I went for the MRI, and I said, okay, nothing's going to light up. It's not, because I just know it's not, because I didn't worry about it for the 2 weeks in between or three. I prayed constantly, and I constantly thanked God for my healing. I just said, thank you for your healing. Thank you for your healing. So I got through the MRI, surely by saying the name of Jesus repeatedly through the entire thing, because I don't like that kind of stuff. I don't. And they called me a few days later. I was heading to the lake to read the Bible, and I got a phone call before I got to the lake. So I pulled into the marina where all the boats are, and I took the phone call. And I knew she was going to tell me nothing lit up. Well, she didn't tell me that. Matter of fact, she told me a lot lit up. There was a lot of stuff there that wasn't supposed to be there. And she told me the next step was an MRI-guided biopsy, and left it at that. And I hung up the phone, and I did get discouraged. The human Casey took over for a minute and was like, no, it was not supposed to light up. So I started to pull out of the marina, and then something just said, Casey, stop now. You came here to read the Bible, now do it. And I turned to my left, and there were two boats in the yard whose names were showing. Mind you, all of the boats are covered because it's winter. You can't see their names. These two boats' names were Seek Ye First and No Worries. So I was, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I read the Bible and then called my father and said, well, we have to go do this. Long story short, I didn't make it through the first MRI biopsy because I got in my own head and I didn't just give it over to God like I had been doing the whole time. So they told me I had to take a Valium and come back in a week and bring the Valium with me and take it before the test. I didn't want to do that because I don't like taking medicine. I had another healing that morning with an issue in my leg because my daughter had prayed that morning, and that happened on my way to the biopsy. As my daughter texted me and said, Mom, the song that just came on Family Life Network is Just Breathe. So, Mom, just breathe. Get there for the biopsy, and my father said, make sure you take that Valium. So I did. It did nothing for me. Number one, because I didn't want it to do anything for me because I didn't want to take the Valium. So I had a little bit of anxiety when I went in, and the nurses were like, well, didn't you take the Valium? And I said, well, yeah, I did, but it's not working because I'm doing this on prayer alone. So let's get it done before I change my mind. No. And so that's exactly what I did the entire time. I prayed the entire time during that biopsy and did not worry. I did not worry, and I just had complete and utter faith. So I got through that, and they had to do a mammogram right afterwards to check the placement of the clip. And I knew that that picture, I wanted to see the picture because I knew it was going to be different than the one the very first time in January. So I asked her, I said, can I please see the films? And she said, sure. So she's pointing to me where the clip is, and I didn't care where the clip was. I was looking at the picture, and I was like, it's totally different. It's totally different. I know what your answer is going to be when you call me in 3 days. So in 3 days when I got the phone call, the nurse says, well, Casey, we have your results. And I said, I know you do. And she said, well, it's benign. There was nothing there. We'll see you in 6 months. And I was like, amen. Thank you, Jesus. It was there. It is gone. Jesus took care of it. That's not the end. I am a faithful tither and a faithful seeder, and I do not have insurance. Cancer Services Program paid for my first mammogram, then informed me that they don't have the funds to continue to pay for all the other tests I had to have. So they told me I had to go through other resources and other agencies. Well, I had to jump through hoops to go through those things, so I didn't do it. I said, well, God's going to take care of it. And if not, I'm going to pay him $5 a month. So Barb, the nurse, called me again and said, hey, Casey, guess what? Everything's been paid for by Cancer Services Program. So someone who told me they could not pay for anything else because they didn't have the funds covered it. Amen. It was covered because I am a faithful tither and a faithful seeder. So ultimately, be faithful, be obedient, and God is good all the time. Okay? Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Wow. Our God is good and faithful. I mean, she has picture evidence. Once again, God is in the miracle business. If you are in need of a miracle, just put your faith in God. We're entering into the time of tithes and offerings. And today, this covenant that we have with God through obedience gives us so many blessings, and we quote it every single week out of Deuteronomy 28. So today, as you stand to your feet and we get ready to quote Deuteronomy 28, I want you to quote it over whatever situation and circumstance that comes to your mind that you need a miracle in, because you're in covenant with a miracle-working God. So Deuteronomy 28 says, repeat after me, if I obey, oh, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. And I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. Many of you, this is your church. Go on the giving button or text to give.
The greatest thing that you can get is the diamond. Turn to someone and say, I'm part of the IMF. Well, you don't sound excited. I said, turn to someone and say, I'm proud to be part of the IMF. What is the IMF? The Impossible Mission Force. You see, today you're not part of just some little church that's just meeting in a cornfield, but you are part of the IMF. You're a powerful son and daughter of God. Shout it out loud, I'm part of the IMF. You see, today God wants you to know something so specific, and that is this. As there are many, how many of you watched the Mission Impossible before? We reach down and they get a diamond or they capture something and it's beautiful, it's amazing. But I want you to know something, no matter how expensive this diamond is, no matter how powerful it might be on this planet, it compares nothing to the price of a soul. Today, you and I are part of the greatest force on this planet called the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force. And what some have called impossible, I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. Can I hear an amen? You see, today, you and I have been called to give out generous passion for Christ. We've been called and anointed and appointed. We have been the ones that have been given the mission to go out and to seek and to save them which are lost. Even as this man descended from the descended, I don't know where he even came from. Even as he descended and grabbed a hold of that diamond, the whole reason he did that was to acquire something that wasn't his. But today, you and I have been sent as sons and daughters of God to acquire what is God's. It's not stealing, it's taking back what the devil has stolen. Can I hear an amen? In just 3 weeks, we are going to be stepping into Easter. Can you believe that? 3 weeks away is the Easter service. And I'm believing God that in these next 3 weeks, as you and I are part of the IMF. I said, you're part of the what? As you're part of the Impossible Mission Force. That we are going to see the greatest outpouring of salvations this year in Easter that we have ever seen before. Can I hear an amen? You see, you are the force. You don't need a force unless there is some type of rebuttal or restriction. And today, you and I are going to let the devil know that we are not just some Christianettes at a little Christian church, but we are sons and daughters of God, part of the body of Christ, part and doing the warfare of heaven to accomplish the greatest treasure. And it has nothing to do with a diamond. It has to do with a soul. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 19, 25 through 26, it says the disciples were astounded and they asked Jesus a question. Then who in the world can be saved? And Jesus looked at them intently. Everybody shout intently. And said, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible. You know, this whole story that was happening was a man came to Christ who was very wealthy. And he asked Jesus, what do I need to do to be saved? And Jesus said, sell all that you have. And the point came down to was Jesus made the statement that he loved and trusted his wealth so much that it disqualified him. I'm here to tell you that it has nothing to do with just wealth, but people disqualify themselves salvation-wise for many things. We sell our souls so very cheaply. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So many sell their soul so cheap. They sell their soul for a little dollar more an hour on a Sunday. They sell their soul for a girl or a guy. They sell their soul for religion. But God is calling us back to understand that as you and I are born again. You and I are blood washed. You and I are sons and daughters of God. You and I are ambassadors of heaven. You and I are part of the greatest warfare this world has ever seen. We are part of the impossible mission force, and God says we shall take it by force in the name of Jesus. It's time for the church to again arise and recognize that with man it might be impossible, but with God all things are possible. The greatest mission is that of a soul. Ladies, how many of you got a diamond when you got married? I bought my wife a diamond ring. It was worth $324. We didn't have a lot of money. $324 is what I paid for that ring. And boy, I tell you something, she was excited to get it, weren't you, honey? Sure. It wasn't a full diamond, it was a diamond chip. Anybody ever have diamond chips before? You know, like 2 or 3 years later, she came to me and she goes, "How do you like my diamonds?" She went out and bought her own diamond rings. Ladies, you want a diamond, don't you? Diamonds are forever. Diamonds show great wealth. Diamonds show, listen, there are diamonds that have sold for tens of millions of dollars. Can you imagine what this would be worth if it was actually real? It would be amazing wealth. But here we look at this, and many people are after this type of wealth. But I want you to know today that God is after the greater wealth. All of those things shall pass away, but there's something that never passes away. You can't take one thing with you to heaven except for the people that you have led to Christ as their Savior. You see, the greatest thing that we can take before our Father, the greatest jewel that our Father desires, is a living soul. It's somebody who will walk with Him and talk with Him, someone who we can wash by the blood of Christ so they can have a relationship with Him. You see, God is after souls, and He's passionate, and this is why we are part of the IMF, the Impossible Mission Force. And God has said what some have called impossible, whom some said that would never be saved, even Jesus can set them free. Can I hear an amen? You see, God's passion is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And the Lord isn't really slow about His promises, as some think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He doesn't want one person to be destroyed. He wants everybody to repent. You see, as a believer, you and I, our mission is clear. Our mission is clear. Well, Pastor, you know, it's not my ministry to tell people about Christ. I want you to know today that every one of us have the same ministry. Every one of us have the same call. Every one of us have the same anointing. You see, the Bible makes a declaration. It's called the Great Commission. It's found in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And then Jesus told them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He then went on to say, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils in my name. They shall speak with new tongues. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. And when they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover." And God worked with them. I say that. And God worked with them with signs and wonders following. You see, you and I are not on this mission alone. You and I don't just have somebody in our ear or a magic watch or a magic bomb that is like a pen or a phone like GetSmart. But we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on our side and the mission that He has called us to. He has sent us with success in our bones and the ability to call those things which are not as though they already are. You see, you and I have been called on the greatest mission that God has ever had for anybody on this planet. Turn to someone and say, "I got a mission." You know, many people think that the mission is impossible. I want to ask you a question. How many of you people were shocked when you gave your heart to Jesus? Two people. All the rest of you were saints. How many of you were shocked when you gave your heart to Jesus? I mean, people were like, "What? You go where? You did, huh?" You were shocked. How many of you yourself were like, "I can't believe where I am 5 years after I've given my heart to Christ." Man, you were bad. Turn to someone and say, "Bad." We've heard Sean's testimony, what God's done in Sean's life. He was an alcoholic for 20 years.
23 years, an alcoholic. Wife never thought he'd be born again. But today, he's not only sitting in church. She put this testimony up the other day on Facebook. He's not only sitting in church, he's serving in church. He's a man of God for his family, who somebody thought would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. My brother-in-law, Chad, who I just had to keep talking to in the watch, saying, lower, lower, lower. Last night, man, as we were practicing this, he got me about 8 feet high and he left. You think that? No, it wasn't funny. He left. Thank God. Thank God Minister Redner was still here. I'd have been stuck here till morning. But my brother-in-law, when I started dating my wife, my brother-in-law hated me. Now, I'm not talking hated me. He grew up in church, but had bad experiences. In fact, at one point, the pastor told him, he said, you're worthless and you'll never make anything of your life. And my brother-in-law walked away from Jesus. He was a wild partier, man. Major parties, the girls. Man, he'd tell me how much he used to spend when he was down in D.C. area working electricity. He was just not serving Jesus even close. And his sister would be praying, and his sister would be believing. He hated me so much, he didn't even want to be in the same room that I was in. One day, it was Memorial Day weekend, he stumbled into the church on a Sunday night, sat in the back of the church with his head in his hands, and I looked at Rhonda and I said, you need to go back and talk to your brother. That night, Chad Mays gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some who thought he would never be born again, some who thought he would never turn back to Christ, some who believed it was impossible. It might be impossible, humanly speaking, but with God, all things are possible. And we're not talking money. We're talking people getting saved. Some people have given up on individuals. Some people have said, well, I believed as much as I could, and they're not turning. I don't understand. I guess they're not going to ever serve God. But I want you to know you cannot ever give up on anybody. Don't ever give up on anybody. Don't ever think that it's not possible for God. Don't ever say, I'm giving up. Don't ever, because God can change everything in a millisecond. There's a man in the Bible whose name was Saul. He was a very religious man. I mean, he was passionate in what he did. So passionate in his life that he actually was learned under the third greatest teacher of all of Jerusalem. He was a man who knew the law. The Bible said he was a Pharisee, and he was climbing that good religious ladder. But one day, he decided that he was going to continue to torment people called Christians. The Bible says, in fact, he says it about himself. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Listen now. And I am the worst of them all. Saul made the declaration that he was the worst of all the sinners that he knew. Let's be real. He was a guy that when Stephen was being stoned, he was the one holding the coats, cheering him on. The Bible says that what he would do is he would go and he would find people of the way, the Christians, and he would put them in jail and he would have them beat. In fact, one day, he was on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. But something happened on that day. You see, everybody was afraid of Saul. But Jesus is not afraid of Saul. Jesus believed in Saul. Jesus knew that Saul had purpose. Jesus knew that Saul had a call. And that day, Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus. That day, Jesus appeared to him. That day, Jesus changed him. That day, he went from the greatest sinner to a son of God. That day, his sins were washed away. That day, when everybody else would give up, the one who said, there's nothing impossible, showed up and changed the man's life. I'm here to tell you that God can change anyone's life. And Saul became Paul, and he wrote 13 books in the New Testament, and God used him in a supernatural dimension. Don't you ever give up on anybody. We just don't know. It only takes God a second. I was telling a testimony about a mother who went to an evangelistic meeting. And she's at this evangelistic meeting because she was burdened for her son. He was a kid that grew up in church. And he ended up walking away from the Lord. And now he was a heroin addict in New Jersey. Shooting up. Living on the streets. His mom had been praying and praying and and didn't know what else to do, she went to the evangelist, and the evangelist looked at her and said, "The Lord just showed me that your prayers, he's heard them, and that your son will be home this weekend and set free." Well, she left the house, she left the church, went back, he wasn't there. We had the rest of the meetings. But Sunday night after church, she came home, and there's her boy sitting in the kitchen. What happened? You see, he said, "I had come to the place of overdosing, but the Spirit of God revealed himself to me." God showed up in his life. You see, God will show up in a person's life because Jesus loves them. God loves them so precious. He loves them because this is nothing to him. All of heaven, even the roads, are made of gold. What he loves is someone to serve him. He loves to be calling them sons and daughters. He loves to wash people of their sins. And you see, that day, that man showed up in his mother's house on a Sunday night. How? Because God showed up. What would be impossible to man is possible with God. Don't you ever give up on anybody, because Jesus can save everyone. This IMF thing is so powerful because in just 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about Easter. We're going to have Easter programs. We have a passion play that literally is depicting, and I'm so proud of Glenn East and the rest of the team that have put together this drama. It's not a small one, and if you want to help, there's more room for help. We need some more actors and actresses. If you'll get a hold of Glenn East right here. Glenn East, stand up and wave at everybody. Amen, right there. Go see her. We need more help. Why? Because we're not producing a nice little playette. We're putting together the gospel play with the gospel news, with the gospel power, with the gospel anointing. And it's the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. I'm excited that in just 3 weeks, we're going to have it on a Friday night. And we're going to do it twice on a Sunday morning. Why? Because we're believing that as you and I get the vision and the mission and the understanding that our calling is so passionate from God and birthed within us to reach, to seek those that are lost, that we will be those that will not sit back and just let anybody go to hell, but will reach them all for Jesus. You see, every one of us have people in our lives right now who we just think of. The moment we think of them, we say, they'll never get saved. They'll never get right with God. You don't know how bad they are. There's people that come to our mind that we can't even conceive them being in the house of the Lord. But there's a lot already here that no one would ever have thought would ever have gotten saved. They weren't goody two-shoes that went to church their whole life. They were people that were living for the devil and doing it well. Yet God changed them. In your hands, in your seats, there are cards. If everybody just reach down and grab that card. If you don't have one, the ushers are in the aisle right now. They want to get you one. There are 5 lines on that card. As you are part of this impossible mission force, we are going to believe the Lord that by Easter, God is going to save people on that list. That God is going to reach the impossible. That God is going to touch those that you can't even fathom will be in the house of God. What I'd like you to do on that piece of paper, and you don't have to do it right now, but I want you to write down 5 names of people that you're going to believe God for to be saved by Easter. Well, Pastor, Easter's only 3 weeks away. I mean, what can God do in 3 weeks? What can God do in a millisecond? What can God do in the middle of the night? What can God do during the daytime? God can do all things, and he loves people so desperately. He's waiting for the church to step back in line. The Bible says that we don't even need to pray for the lost. It's his will to save them. He said, "Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Today I'm going to institute. Today I'm going to commission you. Today I'm going to declare to you your mission." And that is, we're going to start praying for these people that are on this list. We're going to start calling those things which are not as though they already are. We're going to start breaking down the back of the devil so that the people on your list that you think are even impossible, God will show up, change them, heal them, set them free, and that they'll be able to say, even by Easter, "I want God." You see, we have been called. Just as I watched number 3. How many are there? Mission Impossibles. 28? 5. Even I was watching number 3. He would get the mission. He would get the direction from headquarters. And he would go to work. Bullets flying everywhere. And, you know, all that's fake, but still. I guess not all fake. The danger that's there. And he still did it. Why? Just to get a bit of information, just to acquire and accomplish the mission that has been placed within his hands by his headquarters. And today you and I have been given a mission from headquarters. We have been called to seek and to save them which are lost. We have been called to share the gospel, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. We have been called to bring those who don't know Jesus to the saving knowledge of God, to get them to confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God raised him to the dead. You see, God has called us, for we are the only plan that he has in all of heaven. God does not have a plan B for salvation on this planet. You and I are the only plan. You and I are the only ones that he has put in order. You weren't born 1,000 years ago. You're born right now for this time, in this season. You have been set a time, set apart for this moment. Why? Because God has people just for you to reach. So this is what I want to do. Is that all right? Today's more of a commission service. For the next 3 weeks, I want you to focus on those 5 names. You see, God in heaven has set forth an order that prayer activates the supernatural. You can wish something and it will never happen. But the Bible says that we can come before the throne of God boldly. And the Bible declares that if we can have this confidence in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we know the answer is on the way. We know that it is God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that it is God's passion that Jesus came to seek and to save them which are lost, not sit and save and wait till they show up. Christ has called the church, and you and I, those people that are on our list, those people that are on that card, God has placed them in your heart, and I want to show you supernaturally. I want to show you, not through natural ways, how to bring forth the salvation of their soul. You see, God is moved by prayer. Heaven is moved by prayer. Atmospheres are changed through prayer. The Bible says, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast in, and be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. The power of prayer literally changes everything that surrounds you. I want you to pray for these people every single day for the next 3 weeks. I'm not even going to teach you what to pray. Is that fair? I'm going to teach you how to pray. You know, there are many people that don't know how to pray. Turn to someone and say, you need step 1. You need to join Rock Solid Faith. Why? Because if you don't know how to pray, then it's hard to get it done. You know, if I build a house and I only have a screwdriver, can I finish that house? Well, no, actually, I had an engineer say yes, he could. I said, how long would it take? He said, a very, very long time. But if you have the right tool, when I was building, we moved into our house this year in November, and I was changing the garage into a man cave. Glory be to Jesus. Every man needs a man cave. And as I'm changing it into a man cave, I bought 750 board feet of rough cut lumber, and my dad was here, so we started putting together the walls. And I said, I'm going to go buy nails. You know, I wanted those square head nails. You know, they're pretty cool. I figured I'd put square head nails into the rough cut lumber, and it would make it look great. And my father said, what are you, crazy? He said, do you know how long you're going to be putting nails into this wall? I said, well, I mean, I want it to look good. He goes, we're going to go buy a tool, son. And we went and we bought a compressor with a pneumatic hammer. Is that what they call it? Pneumatic nailer. I don't even know what it's called. But all I know is you slide the nails in, get the beast all with power, and you go like this, puh, puh, puh. Man, we we did a raft of business in a really short time. Why? Because when you have the right tools in your pocket, you get the job done quick and you get it done right. Can I hear an amen? We have a beautiful dentist over here, doctor, and can you imagine going to the dentist and all she has is a hammer and pliers? She'll get the job done all right. But you're praying that she has a little bit of juice to put in, maybe even a little juice to snort. To the pure, all things are pure. And even though you might not like that sound, you're thanking God that it's there rather than the hammer and pliers. Can I hear an amen? You want to have the right tools to get the job done. And you see, the power of prayer is what changes the impossible to the possible. The power of prayer is what moves heaven. The power of prayer is what changes lives. It's the power of prayer that activates the supernatural. Not just you and I being nice Christianettes. Not just you and I saying nice things or hoping something's going to get done. The Bible says that if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us and it's done. It's time to recognize that God is waiting for heaven to be activated by the prayer of the saints and the prayer of the saints that are fervent and are persistent. The Bible says they shall avail much. You see, I'm believing God that some of those people that are on your list that you look at and say, that's impossible. They'll never accept the Lord. You don't know how they live, Pastor. They're atheists. I want you to know today that there's a man named Lee Strobel who is an atheist. His wife gave her heart to Jesus. He was so angry. He said, I'm going to disprove this religion and I'm going to smear it in her face so she has to turn. But something happened. He met Christ, the Christos of the Bible. The Biblios came alive and he could not disprove the scripture. It proved the word of God. And when he proved it, today he's a preacher of the gospel of Christ and he's sharing Jesus, who some would say is impossible. God says there's nothing impossible if you only believe. You see, today, the type of prayer you need to pray is because the Bible says that the devil is a sly old fox. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. The Bible says that those people on your list that don't know Christ, that literally, not figuratively, not philosophically, but literally there is a demonic spirit that is blinding their mind. That a demon is literally sitting on them and thwarting the gospel and the understanding of the word of God. It's not just that they don't want God. It's not that, listen, in every single person, it's innate to want God. God has put it within them. He said, I've written the law of God on their heart. So the issue is not that. The issue is that the Bible says that Satan, the god of this world, has literally, not figuratively, released a demonic spirit upon those who do not know Jesus, and that spirit is now blinding the mind of the unbeliever. That means they cannot understand. They cannot comprehend. They cannot grab a hold of. Why can't they? Because there's a demonic spirit that's literally thwarting the very words of heaven away. But you and I, the Bible says that he's given us all authority over the power of the devil, that you and I have all authority over Lucifer himself. According to Luke chapter 10, the disciples came back all excited. They came back all shouting. The devils are even subject to us in the name of Jesus. But Jesus said, don't get excited about that. Man, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Don't get excited about that. That's no big deal. Get excited that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You see, you and I have all authority over the power of the enemy. But the enemy hopes the church doesn't understand this, that we just hope that our friend's going to get saved, hope that our husband's going to get saved, hope that our loved one's going to give their heart to Christ. But the Bible says that before that they can even see and understand, you need to bind the devil that blinds their mind. It is a spiritual action. You see, salvation is not someone joining a church or joining a religion. Salvation is a supernatural action of God. The devil understands the supernatural. And if he can blind somebody, then they cannot. If you blind somebody, they cannot. If you blind somebody, they cannot. So when somebody is lost, they are blinded. The Bible says they are dead in Christ. It's time to recognize that the only way for life to come, sight to come, is for the saints of God, not to hope it there, but you and I start to pray it there. In the name of Jesus, I bind the devil that's blinding the mind of my loved one. I command that spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Get off them. I command right now in the name of Jesus. You have no influence over them. And I take authority over you in Jesus' name. You see, they know the name of Jesus. They know the blood of Christ. They know the power of prayer. They know who you are in Jesus, and they're just hoping that you remain ignorant and that you just hope somebody gets saved or want somebody to get saved rather than make somebody get saved, not by force, but in the element of their blinded eyes being open that they can make a conscious decision to accept or reject Christ. So every day from now for the next 3 weeks, I want you to bind the devil that's blinding the mind of the unbeliever every single morning over that loved one. Why is that important? Well, because an unbeliever has the right to have that spirit come back. They're not saved, so that spirit has right of entry. I'm not saying they're possessed. I'm saying they're oppressed, blinded. So every morning when you get up and you start praying for your list, it's exactly how I pray. In the name of Jesus, I bind you foul spirit that's blinding the mind of this loved one of mine, and I command you in Jesus' name to back off. I command right now that they are able to see. I command your influence right now to cease. No more whispering in their ear or bringing their friends to them. I bind you in the name of Jesus today. At that moment, that spirit recognizes who you are. At that moment, the demonic spirit recognizes your authority in the name of Jesus. You see, they're subject to that name. And as you and I bind them, that spirit has to back off. Why do I pray that way every day? Because that person has a right to entertain that spirit all over again. So every day, I want you to bind that spirit that's blinding the mind of that unbeliever. I want you to take authority in their life. And then this is what I want you to do as well. The Bible says in John 6:44 that no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. You see, the Holy Ghost is the one who draws them to salvation. The Spirit of God is the one working in mankind right now. So when I bind that spirit over that person that everybody would seem to be impossible with, man, I want you to know there are people in this congregation that today are here in the house. Why? Because I saw their influence in their community, in this community, and I started praying for them. I started asking the Holy Spirit to release the presence of God in their life. I started asking the Spirit of God for opportunity, and if not me, that God will give somebody else an opportunity to share the gospel with them. And one guy took 4 years. 4 years of persistent prayer, 4 years of calling those things and binding that spirit. But today that man is in the house. Today that man is born again. Today that man loves Jesus. And I can go through a list of them. You see, who men think it's impossible, God says they're easy. So I bind the spirit and then I loose the Holy Ghost. Father, send somebody. Send somebody to touch them. Send someone to change them. Send someone to encourage them. Send someone that's going to be able to draw them to salvation. And I want you to know this, is that God will always move. Why? It's His will. When you pray the will of God, heaven will always move. You cannot fail when you pray God's will. And the will of God is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the aggressive prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much because when it is hooked to the will of heaven, God starts moving heaven and earth. God starts influencing in ways that other men cannot, just like he did with Saul that day on the road to Damascus. God can change people's lives who nobody ever thought would be saved. Don't give up on anybody. And that list, I'm believing that you're going to see harvest before Easter Sunday morning. Can you believe God with me? I said, can you believe God with me? Boy, you're an awful quiet congregation this morning. I said, can you believe God with me? Amen. You see, today, I don't want to keep beating this. I think I'm good. Turn to someone and say, I'm part of the IMF. Tell somebody else I'm part of the IMF. The Impossible Mission Force. That's who you are. And you're going to take this by force. Amen. You see, it's going to be exciting to start watching the Spirit of God move on people you never thought possible. It's so much fun when you start releasing the energy of heaven, the power of heaven to do work that's supernatural. I know people in the midnight hour have woken up. I'll end with this story. There was a woman, Smith Wigglesworth. I don't know how many of you know him, but he's gone on to be with Jesus back in the, I believe, the 60s. But he tells a story about he was preaching in a town, and when he would preach in a town, many times people would open their door to them so they could come in and relax and sleep. And this woman opened the door of her house, her and her husband, but the husband was not born again. Smith came after services, relaxed, went to bed, went to sleep. They actually gave up their bed for him to sleep in. They slept downstairs. He went to sleep, got up the next morning, had breakfast, was walking out the door, and she said, sir, sir, I need you to pray for my husband. Please pray for my husband to be saved. And he looked at her and he said, just don't change the sheets. And she said, what? He said, just don't change the sheets. That day she started working her housework, and she went up to the bedroom and started pulling the sheets off, and she was reminded by the Holy Spirit what was said. Don't change the sheets. She left the sheets on the bed. There's something called impartation. There's something called supernatural release of the anointing. And the anointing is tangible, transferable. The anointing is what destroys yokes of bondage. And so that night, her and her husband went to bed. About 3 a.m, he sat straight up in bed and he said, I'm on fire. Somebody help me. Honey, lead me to Jesus. And that night at 3 a.m., she led her husband to the Lord right in that bed. I want you to know what some would say is impossible is possible with God, because God loves people. God's greatest jewel is you. And those people that are on your list. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. And I pray that every single one of us get a passion for this. In 3 weeks. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the call of God. I thank you that right now in Jesus' name, even by the power of prayer, Lord, a fresh burden can be placed upon everyone that's in this room and watching by live stream. I declare in the name of Jesus that, Lord, we'll be overwhelmed as you are for the living souls that we know, even those that we would consider are impossible that would never be saved. I pray in Jesus' name that we'll start praying the word. I pray in Jesus' name that, Lord, we'll not be able to forget not one day between now and Easter to intercede, stand in the gap, bind the devil, loose the Holy Ghost to bring these people to salvation. And I thank you, God, that you're going to use us, Lord, to enlarge heaven for your name's sake. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've never received him into your life before, or maybe you're in a backslidden condition, you're not sure if you're going to heaven. You were at one point in time, like my brother-in-law. You were at one point in time, and you served God, but you walked away and are living a lifestyle that's far from Christ. And you know that if you die, you're not going to heaven. Christ wants to regain your life today. He wants to restore you, renew you, just like the prodigal son. And if you've never known Christ as your Savior, we're not asking you to join a church or religion. We want you to know him, walk with him, talk with him, be part of that IMF, be part of the force of heaven that will make a difference on this earth. Today, if you are either backslidden or you don't know Jesus as your Savior and you want to get right with God, I want you to slide your hand up right now. I want to lead you to the best friend you're ever going to have. Is there anyone in this room now that wants to give their heart to Jesus? Thank you very much, sir. Is there anyone else this morning? Is there anyone? I'm not going to wait real long. I'm only going to count down to five. Thank you very much. Thank you, young lady. Amen. In the back, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else this morning can put your hands right back down. I'm going to count down. Five, four. Come on, get your hand up. Three, two. Thank you, young man. One last call. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. You know, every single Sunday we give an altar call in this church. And the reason is because you don't know where somebody's at. The most vile individual, you don't know. They're just one word from salvation. Just one word. And I challenge you to be that person of the word. Amen. Share Jesus with people. It's called good news. Amen. God didn't call people out of bondage to put them in bondage. He gave them purpose and mission and destiny. This morning, I'm going to have the altar team come around the front of the altar. If I could have you come now. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything in your life, I want you to know they'll pray with you, agree with you. God will move in your life. Today, if you're one that raised your hand for salvation, rededication, if you'll meet me right down here, right down center, please be brave. Grab the person next to you and bring them with you. Meet me right here, right now. We want to pray with you, lead you to Christ. And man, we're going to rejoice with you because we know that Jesus will change your life. Everybody else, we love you. Now listen, this is what we're going to do for next week. Every one of those names, I want you to put on a separate piece of paper. The one paper you have, I want you to keep and pray over every day. But I want you to bring a separate piece of paper, large or small, and this coming week, I want you to lay it across the front of the altar. We're going to pray for them with you. Amen? We're going to believe God for miracles and signs and wonders. Young lady, I'm so proud of you.